Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Tis the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is filled with His goodness. He is holy. He is high. He is set apart. So we sing to Him.
Thank you. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. It is a wonderful day to be alive. Amen. It's a wonderful day to scream and shout hallelujah. It is a blessing to be on this side of the earth. Amen. You are here. That means that God has blessed you just one more time. So you should give him the praise and the honor that he so deserves. I don't know about you, but I am so happy. I am so grateful that I had just one more opportunity to get things right, one more opportunity to celebrate, one more opportunity to say thank you, Jesus, for what you have done for me. Well, y'all, let me tell you, we made it, Fuse. We made it to one more year. Amen. This is the end of our conference year. We made it, amen, and God has blessed us. Just wait until you see what God has in store for us next conference year. Well, good morning, amen. Happy Sunday to you. It is a blessing. You know me. I am Pastor D. Welcome to the Jubilee Affair and the Fuse Memorial Worship Experience. Amen. I'm not going to hold this up. I'm going to just say amen. It's a good day to be alive. Brother Tony, will you bless us, sir? And welcome back, sir.
God bless everyone this Sunday morning. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Thank you, Jesus, for another day in this world. Praise the Lord. Glory, glory, hallelujah, since I laid my birth down. Glory, glory, hallelujah, since I laid my burden down. Glory, glory, hallelujah, since I laid my burden down. Glory, glory, hallelujah, since I laid my burden down. I feel better, so much better, since I laid my burden down. I feel better, so much better, since I laid my burden down. Friends don't treat me like they used to, since I laid my burden down. Friends don't treat me like they used to. I lay my burden down. Burden down, Lord. Burden down, Lord. Since I laid my burden down. Oh, burden down, Lord. Burden down, Lord. Since I laid my burden down. Oh, glory, glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yeah, since I laid my burden down. Well, glory, glory, hallelujah, Sunday, my burden down. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Yes. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Tony. God bless you, sir. We shall now have our affirmation of faith by Minister Roslyn Thomas, followed by invocation by Reverend Patricia Johnson.
Glory be to God, saints. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. The affirmation of faith. Let us unite in the historic confession of the Christian faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin of Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he arose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Invocation. Break through our weariness and our wandering, O God, and renew us and break back our thoughts from afar. For it is in keeping our minds stayed on you that we are kept in perfect peace. Enable us to show that peace to a world is confusion. And all praises shall be returned unto you with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. We shall now have our scripture by Minister Kyle Garrett.
Amen. The scripture will come from the book of Philemon, chapter 3, verses 12 through 16. That is Philemon, chapter 3, verses 12 through 16. I'm sorry, it must be Philippians. It's Philippians. Excuse me. Yes. Philippians. Yes. 3. 12, verse 16. Okay. Now I shall be reading from the New International Version. And it reads, not that I have already obtained all this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us, then, who are mature should take such a view of things. On some point, you think differently. That, too, God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Again, I've read Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 16. May God add a blessing to the hearing and reading of his holy word. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Again, it is a blessing to be here, amen, to speak to you on this Sunday morning. Amen. Again, good morning to you all. Y'all know that I love you with the love of Jesus. And no matter what happens in this world, always love you with the love of Jesus. Amen. Just one announcement, amen. And we are at the start of our annual conference. Amen. Please, please, please pray for all the pastors and the ministers and all the lay and the officers and our presiding elders and our bishop, amen, as we conduct the business of the church, amen. We are gearing up for our general conference in 2022, amen. So just continue to pray for all of us, amen. Monday morning. It starts at 8 p.m. I mean, I'm sorry, 8 p.m. 8 a.m., excuse me, Central Time, which would be 9 a.m. Eastern Standard. It starts with prayer. Amen. We have a prayer team that will be praying and offering prayers to the people and for the conference. The business session will start at 10. Amen. And then we will go from 10 to 12. And then on Tuesday, we will meet again for communion, which starts at 7 p.m. It will go from 7, I believe, until 9:30, maybe 10 o'clock. On Tuesday, we will be receiving the installation of our officers, also the pastoral appointments. Amen. We in the Methodist denomination, we are in an itinerant ministry, which means that there are times that we move around, amen, just as Jesus moved around. So we don't stay in one spot too long, but God has blessed us and he has put it on the hearts of our bishops that it is important that the pastors stay in a church a little longer than what they normally would, because it helps keep the body moving. Amen. So we have been blessed. Amen. And I am here to tell you that I am not concerned. I will be back. Amen. God has been good to me, and I know that God will continue to be good to me. So it is, again, a true blessing. Just continue to keep us all lifted up in your prayers. Amen. Remember, we're still in the midst of a pandemic. Even though things have been lifted, please, please, please stay safe. Stay safe. If you don't feel comfortable with going out, don't go out. Just stay safe. Amen. Amen and amen. Minister Lisa, will you please bless us with the altar call? And after that, we will have a song by our brother Tony Spencer. Then the messenger of the hour will be that of Minister Tremaine Townsend.
Good morning, Father, Jesus, and Holy Spirit. You have been so good to us in the good times and the bad. We worship and adore you in all your infinite ways, Lord, as you comfort and love us by all your many names. We enter your presence and acknowledge how great you are and that there is none like you. You're the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty. We adore you, Lord Jesus. We need an outpour of your spirit right now. Send it down, Lord. We await your healing and restoration. There are many counterfeit gods in this world, but you are the one and the only true God. You are the only God that loves us and wants what is best for us. We're so grateful that you have saved us yesterday, today, and that you continue to work in our lives. Struggling with the need and the lust of this world, Lord, and you are the one who is the rewarder of all who diligently seek you in spirit and in truth, Lord, here and in heaven. But I know that you alone recognize all of our efforts to remain faithful to your word and in abiding with you. I want you to know that the recognition of man is not necessary, and that you want for us to know that obedience is always more important than sacrifice. Help us to see that the praises of man can be a snare and that you will exalt when the time is right. Lord, we thank you for the trials that have built us and make us strong in your grace. We thank you for your faithfulness to and in us. Thank you, Lord, for the trials in our lives that result in the spiritual growth in you. I pray today for the physical, spiritual, mental health, and strength of each and every one of your children. We keep your divine hand of healing on us so the evil one do not manifest in our lives, because you took every infirmity, sickness, and disease to the pit of hell, and they are crushed beneath our feet as is Satan. We leave our worries about everything on the altar, Lord, and give it all to your Father God. We do not leave this place with anything that is not of you. We love you mightily and keep you in our mind, hearts, and our prayers. In the name of Jesus and by his blood, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord as we continue this Sunday service. We We truly want to continue to pray for the sick and shut in. I talked to Sister Jessie. I didn't have an opportunity to talk to Sister Annette, but I'm praying for both of them. They are my soldiers in the singing in the choir, and I'm dedicating this song to them. I just want them to listen and be honored, and all the sick and shut in and fused, just be honored and listen. Just listen. I am weak and I need thy strength, power to help me over my weakness. Let me through the darkness, thy faith I see, Lord, lead me. Oh, Lord, lead me. Help me tread in the path of righteousness. Be my oh, and Satan sin over us. I am putting all my trust in thee, Lord, lead me. Oh, Lord, lead me. Guide me along the way. For if you lead me, I cannot stray. But let me walk each day with thee, oh, lead me, oh, Lord, lead me. I am lost if you take your hand from me. I am blind without thy light to see. Lord, just always let me thy servant be. Lord, lead me. Oh, Lord, lead me. Lead me. Oh, yes, guide me. Oh, yes, along the way. Oh, if you lead me, cannot stray. Lord, let me walk, yes, each day with thee. Lead me, oh Lord, lead me. Oh, yes, lead me. Lead me, guide me, yes, along the way. Oh, yes, Lord, if you lead
along the way, for if you lead me, I shall not stray. Lord, let me walk each day with thee. Lead me, O Lord, lead me. As long as you let the Lord lead you, you'll never go wrong. You'll never be in a hopeless situation. We just thank you, Lord, Father God, for leading us and guiding us along the way. We just thank you, Father God, for putting a lamp into our feet and a light into our path, Father. We just thank you, God. We thank you, Lord, for this message that will go forth. I ask you, Father God, that you would remove me out of the way and step in, Father, that they will hear what you have to say on high. Open the spiritual ears, Father, of those that are receiving the message on this morning, Father, not only to let them hear to receive, but to apply. We just thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Good morning, Fuse. Thank you, Pastor Dante, for this opportunity to be able to speak this morning. It's the opportunity that I do not take for granted, and I thank you so very much. Again, as the scripture was read earlier, Philippians chapter 3, beginning with verse 12, it reads, "Not that I have already attained, or am I already perfect, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to be apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind, and if in mind anything think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind." The youth ministry at my old church, we were given a simple diagram to think about the impact of our decisions. It started with a question, should I do? And you fill in the blank. Underneath, that was two columns, yes and no. In each column, they would list likely outcomes of doing or not doing that thing. One they had us do was, should I smoke cigarettes? It was usually a pretty easy way to get us to see the different outcomes or consequences. In my studying, I read believers in the tradition of Wesley have long understood that we cooperate with God in our ongoing journey of our spiritual growth. We believe that God made the way to salvation through the cross of Jesus. It's his blood that saves, but we have to say yes. That's our cooperation in the work of salvation. At the beginning of this chapter, it read where Paul gave the Philippian believers to understand that you could not save themselves through any work, but of the work of the flesh. Now that Paul wants them to look to the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit and in their lives. Today, I will focus on the next work of God in our lives. Sanctification. What's that? It's the work of God's grace in the life of the believer. God pours out sanctifying grace into the spirit of each believer from the moment of salvation until we breathe our last breath. Wherever you are
this morning, remember that God's not done with you yet. All you have to do is reach out and grab it. Do you want to grow into a deeper and deeper relationship with your Heavenly Father? If the answer is yes, begin using the question that we started with earlier. Is it a help or is it a hinder? Just reach out and grab it. It's really a question about what's important to get where you want to be. As we go back to our text in verse 12, we have gotten to the point in Methodism today that we never roll out the P word, which is perfection, around non-church folks. They think that we are being uppity or sanctimonious, talking about being made perfect in love. I need to oversimplify this. When we say the word perfection, the world hears us saying that we are without sin. God is clear on this one thing in 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. What Wesley taught us was that the believer moves forward in sanctification and can be made perfect in love. Again, oversimplified, it is God working sanctification in you and in me. The goal for Wesley was taken from the book of Luke chapter 10 in the setup for the parable. We read, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' He said to him, 'What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?' He so answered and said, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself.' And he said to him, 'You have answered rightly. Do this and you will live.'" To be made perfect in love is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself. This is what Paul was striving to do. This is what the Philippian believers were striving to do. Down through the centuries of the church, that is what believers have strived to do, and Wesley put it into simple terms, but sure, it isn't easy. As he so often did, Paul uses imaginary from athletic competition to describe the difficulty of this pursuit. For the runners in a race, it will slow them down if you look back. His runners win when they look forward and don't look back. All they have to do is keep looking forward to the finish line to just simply reach out and grab it. Most of us have not run a race since we were kids or in high school, but most of us, we still drive a car. Wait a minute. What does that have to do with the topic? I'm glad you asked. You see, if you want to get where you are going and not wreck the car, we have to better spend vast time, majority, spending our time looking through the windshield and less time looking in the rearview mirror. I see that way too many folks live in lives that they look like a big old car wreck because they refuse to stop looking in the past and start looking to the future. That includes all the good things and the past victories. Can you imagine a runner having to carry his or her past trophies when they run in a new race? That would be ridiculous. We have to let go of the past and look is reach out and grab it. So where we are headed in this race of life, just reach out and grab it. Paul knew that the goal in verse 15, therefore let us, as many as are mature, have this mind, and if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this in you. Verse 16, nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. In almost every letter by Paul, he writes about being a mature believer. His most emphatic use of the imaginary is in the 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to the spiritual people, but as to the carnal, as to the babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there is envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men?" Here we hear the opposite of loving God and neighbor as the character spiritual babes.
in these verses from Philippians, Paul is speaking to us as many are mature. That is, not everybody in the church. We all have the same sanctifying grace available to us. We are all offered the same break from the past, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone in Christ is a new creation, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. All you have to do is just reach out and grab it. Hallelujah. Remember that the goal is not to be of the most mature or the most spiritual person in the church. If I am doing a good job of becoming more and more mature in my Christian walk, then I want somebody to notice, right? No, I believe that the ones that really, really need to see us and notice us are not the ones that are in our local churches. The ones who need to see us are walking in radical freedom from our past and are out in the world. They're in our families. They work with you. They go to school with you. They live in your neighborhoods. Maybe, just maybe, they used to be your friend, but no more. Who else sees your growth in sanctification? God sees. Paul knew that what was mattered and that the goal is in each and every believer standing before God. He reminded the Philippian believers that in this, in chapter 2, verse 14 of Philippians, do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. As a believer today, we are faced with many choices that Paul could have never imagined. If you want to make sanctification a priority and maturity of a goal, we have to ask these questions about our choices. Will this help or hinder? For example, during the recent pandemic restrictions, more and more folks have discovered the joys of binge-watching whole seasons of TV shows in a weekend or several weeks a night, sometimes late in the night when you fall for the old trap of just one more. Each person will need to answer the question of any appropriate content, but overall, thing that helps or hinders your growth and sanctification. God has provided those activities for us that believers that through centuries have discovered bring us to the contact with more and more of his grace. We call these means of grace. Dr. Timothy Tennant, the president of Asbury Seminary, wrote a book entitled 30 Questions, a short catechism of the Christian faith. Examples of this would include the reading of scripture, hearing God's word perfected through prayer, fasting, serving the poor, and so forth. Broadly speaking, a means of grace refers to all the ways by which Christians grow stronger in their faith, grow in their grace of Christ. In other words, they are God's instruments to convey grace. Of course, the Bible in and of itself or a prayer in and of itself has no power to change us. If we believe that, we would be affirming a form of magic. Rather, whenever we refer to the means of grace, we acknowledge ultimately that only God is the true giver of grace through the presence of Christ and the Holy Spirit. The term means simply reminds us that God usually ordinary things like words and prayers and actions to convey his presence to us. And whatever his presence is truly encountered, even if we don't feel it, then God's grace is conveyed. God has not called us to a journey and a goal for which we have no directions nor definitions. He has called us to live the lives that are full of stumbles and setbacks. We will still sin, but sin no longer needs to control our actions. Satan provides lots and lots of ways to hinder us in our growth and sanctification, but God also provides, praise the Lord, God has given us the means to help, especially when we have to get back up and dust ourselves off and keep moving forward. Keep in mind, God is not done with us yet. Just remember in Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 11, to be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the left or to the right, but that you may be successful wherever you go. Remember the command that Moses, that the servant of the Lord has given you, that the Lord your God has given you rest and has granted you this land. All you have to do is just simply reach out and grab it. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen. That was a wonderful message. And as I open up the door of the church, that door being Jesus, is there somebody here who has been wrestling with their faith? You've been hurt. You've experienced some disappointment. Whatever it may be in your life right now, when the enemy is trying to pounce on you at that moment that God is about to bless you. If that's you, pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I love you. I ask that you would come into my heart. Lord, I believe that you lived, that you died, and that you rose again all for me. Be the Lord of my life. Help me, Father God, to be more like you and less like this world. And I thank you. Thank you, Father God, for forgiving me of my sins. I accept you as my Lord, my Savior, and my Redeemer. In the name of Jesus, amen. If that was you, and you sincerely meant that within your heart, salvation now belongs to you. Happy birthday. For this is the first day for the rest of your life. I urge you to find a Bible-based church, to bless them physically with your presence, to pray with them in the spirit, and to support them with your tithes and your offerings. And watch what God will do in your life and in the life of that church. Again, may God continue to bless you. May God continue to keep you. Amen. Amen and amen. Thank you, Minister Townsend, for that fantastic word. We had some technical difficulties there for a second, but I want you to know that I heard you. And I am going to reach out, and I'm going to grab it. Because my Jesus is just that powerful. Thank you for reminding us. Thank you for blessing us. Amen. We shall now have our doxology. And I yield to the minister, Tremaine Townsend, for the benediction. Reverend Patricia.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Amen. Thank you again, Pastor Townsend, for allowing me to speak this morning. Remember, all you have to do is just reach out and grab it. The benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, and may you have a blessed and wonderful day.
Amen. We are signing off. God bless you all.
Tis the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is filled with his goodness. He is holy. He is high. He is set apart. So we sing to him.
Dios.